Bilali Bedin and the Professor Abubakar Sanogo. It's truly a great pleasure for me to be here and to be asked to just have a kind of talk with you about my personal itinerary as a filmmaker. I think that what brought me to become a filmmaker is in particular the fact that I being an African and studying history at the Sorbonne University in the 70s, I was suffering of not having a kind of image of my continent. Of course, at the television in France, there were a lot of things made about Africa, both documentary and fiction. But when I say an image, I mean image coming from an indigenous, from the indigenous high. And I was studying history. I liked it very much. And my professor at that time, for because I started to prepare my thesis, at that time it was what we call in French thesis or third cycle. And Professor Yves Persson, that was his name, passed away in the 80s. He was really eager to see me, of course, studying African history, and I said to him, well, of course, that's important for me, but what I'm reading in the books about Africa posed me some problems, because I cannot have a clear conscience of what the Africans themselves believe in, what they think, where is the speech of the African, you know. So I decided, in somehow it was even a surprise for myself, I said to myself, I want to know how the prejudices and the clichés on Africa, you know, running in France, but in the entire Europe, has those clichés and prejudices have been constructed, you know. And I decided to study the representation of Africa, the continent itself, but also the Africans, how they are represented in the illustrated press at the end of the 19th century. And for obvious reasons, because it was the starting point of something, I decided to take the year 1885, that you know is the year of the Berlin Conference, and at that conference attended by all the colonial powers, France, Germany, Portugal, Italy, Spain, UK, all those countries were meeting to split Africa into zones of influence, you know, because in the past they used to deal already with the African continent, but just to establish some comptoir, you know, on the coast, both for the trade of goods and things like that, but of course the slavery, the slavery trade. But from 1885 they decided to go in the interior of the continent, because they wanted from that moment to establish colony, you know. And then many wars started, and of course, for instance, in France, because I was studying here, there, I have taken the journal called Le Petit Journal Illustré. And there was a chapter in that monthly magazine called the L'œuvre civilisatrice de la France en Afrique, meaning that the work of France civilizing the Africans, you know. And in this chapter, you can see drawing. At that time, the photography were not very spread. The daguerreotype was existing already, but those 15 years I was considering, there are much more drawings than photographs. It's only around 1900 that the first photographs were appearing. So the drawings were presenting the locations of Africa, the landscape, the wild animals, and of course the inhabitants of Africa. And if I take only three personalities, like Samori Touré, that was the king of an empire called covering the whole Guinea of today, part of the Mali, Liberia, till Ivory Coast, and Burkina Faso partly. So it was a big empire created by Samori Touré. And Samori Touré was presented by this journal being a kind of official voice of the French government, because they wanted to justify, you know, all the resources put in the war against the African resistance. And the drawing of Samori, I think that the drawing was more or less true, but the commentary beneath the drawing was Samori Touré, a king, a bloody king of an empire in Africa, fighting against, you know, what France wanted to offer to the Africans. And you had also Béhanzin. Béhanzin is another emperor of the Abomey Kingdom. And Abomey Kingdom, as you know, were covering the actual Benin, part of Togo, of course. It was not only a political, body, but also the heart of a religion that you know today, the Vodou religion. So it was a very complex, cultural and religious organization. And beneath the drawing of Béhanzin, it was written, Béhanzin, Emperor of the Kingdom of Cannibalism. You know. And you can see a side of the drawing of Béhanzin, a big pot under the fire, you know, with some human bones coming out from this pot, you know. So it's it struck me a lot, and I say to myself, because before, when I went to my professor to say I want to make my maîtrise on that subject, you know, the kind of pictorial representation of Africa in the period I have already indicated, he was rather anxious, because he didn't know where I wanted to go, and it's not an academic study for an historian. Then I went to the National Library in France, and I started at the beginning. I wanted to Xerox, you know, the drawings, but at that time, you know, the Xerox machines were not as good as they are today. So I decided to make photographs, you know, of that. So I had to work with someone who was studying photography, and he had all the equipment necessary, and we did those photos. I developed them, and I started writing my work about that. But what I have discovered more than what the examples I have taken is that we needed, as Africans, to have our own statement about our history. It looks like we do not exist at all, you know, because other people are telling our story, you know. And as someone said, as long as the story of the sheep is told by the lion, there is a problem, you know. So then I wanted to see how we can balance that. Fortunately, at the same period, started the new writing of African story, and one of the leader figures of this work was Kizerbo, Professor Kizerbo, being an historian well known in the world, and he has taught me 2 years when I was in Africa, because I started my to do university in Ouagadougou, at the University of Ouagadougou, where I did my 2 first years before going to Paris to continue for the bachelor and so on. And then I was very interested by this project of writing, you know, what they call the general history of Africa, with some Africans participating to that. It doesn't mean that it will, prevent them to be scientific, you know, of course, because they are doing it through, you know, the rules of historical work. But it was at least interesting because they can interrogate differently the reality and the story. And in fact, those books, I bought the first books when it has been printed. I was still studying in Paris. But having done this work about the representation of Africa by the Europeans, how all the prejudices and the pictures on Africa have been funded, you know, because of the interest that the government should justify, you know, the colonization, you know. And then I finished that. I was supposed to go back to a very traditional research on history. And my subject for my thesis was the influence of Islam on the structure of state in the kingdom of Ouagadougou. The kingdom of Ouagadougou is, of course, in Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou being the capital city of my country today, and that kingdom was born in the 12th century, you know, approximately at the same time with, Kanka Musa Empire, the Empire of Mali, and it has still today we have an emperor of the Mossi people. So I wanted to see how the traditional way of ruling or organizing, because it was a big, very wide empire too, how they have been able to resist to the penetration of foreign conquerors. And for that, the king, the emperor of Mossi, converted to Islam, you know, so they didn't have to fight against the new Fulani Empire, what we call in French les empires feux, Ousmane Danfodio, Labdia, all those new forces based on Islam. So it was a conversion in appearance, because they continued practicing the traditional religions, of course. So my subject was that. But because I made this because I worked with images, it was still in my mind, and I started being very curious to understand how the construction of the image of Africa in the contemporary scenes in France, how it was presented. So for that, it's no more only drawings that I can analyze from an iconographic point of view. I needed to know exactly how it works in cinema, the moving images, what is the cinematic language. Then I decided, along with my studies in history, to go in a film school in Paris for 2 years. And at the first period, I wanted just to learn cinema, but I wanted to use it to diffuse history, for instance, to make films on archaeology in the different countries of Africa, of course, including my own country. And then after 1 year in the film school, it became more and more clear in my mind that I wanted to become a filmmaker and to tell stories, not only to report history, that was very important and what I did like very much, but suddenly I discovered that if we want to give to Africans a new capacity to take the initiative on their own history, we need to include in that process the imaginations of Africans. You know, the proper word in French is imaginaire, but this word doesn't exist in English. And imaginaire is wider than imagination, you know, because imaginaire means all the superstructure of thought, philosophy, myth, legends, creativity, art, culture, in which an individual was born. It's a kind of cradle from where you can be raised, you know, in your lifetime, you know. And I thought that this imaginaire of the Africans, they have been depossessed of that. Of course, those who are still living, you know, in the true reality of Africa, they haven't lost it. But what about those who were supposed to rule Africa in the coming years? You know, myself, I was born in 1951, 9 years before the political and formal independence of my country that happened in 1960. So I was eager to see how the new intellectuals were going to be able to repossess those resources in terms of imagination, in terms of religion, culture, art, to be able to reinvent or to start again constructing the destiny of Africa. Maybe it's a little bit utopic from my side, I don't know that, but that was the energy and the convictions I had at that time. So I decided to put into, to stop for a while my research in history and to do my second year. That was really demanding from me because we had to shoot and a lot of practice. Then I ended the school in July 76, and I decided to go back to my country directly and to become a filmmaker, to start making films, telling stories, because I believed that it was as urgent than doing the history, trying to give another perspective, another vision on African history, trying to write that history from the African point of view, to explain more what was, our cultures and the different systems existing in Africa. And then when I went back, you have to know that in Burkina Faso, we had already a strong relationship to cinema, because the Pan-African Federation of Filmmakers, Pan-African Film Festival of Ouagadougou, was born in 1969. Nobody could predict that Burkina would be a country to host such a festival. But some people, journalists, film lovers, and the manager of the French Cultural Center, that was a very strong person, that was very interested by the first African films made in Senegal, Tunisia, Madagascar, in Niger, by filmmakers like Sembène Ousmane, Oumar Ouganda, Désiré Carré from Ivory Coast, and many other filmmakers in the Maghreb country. They wanted to show those movies to the audiences in Ouagadougou. And that festival was not an elitist one. It was a very popular festival. And the first session of that festival took place in December 69. I was 18 years old, and I had been able to see those pioneers of African cinema. It was not in my mind that one day I would desire to become a filmmaker. I liked cinema. I was a very good film goer, but it was not a dream for me in my childhood or in my teenage to do so. It's only when I was 23 years old, through the steps that I have just exposed to you, that I went to cinema. Then I came back in 76, working at the Ministry of Information that had in charge the cinema in my country, and I tried to do my best, because we had this film festival being more and more known in the world, but we were not producing significantly films. We were producing what we call socio-educative films, meaning films about the diseases for kids, for instance, on the diarrhea and things like that. That was, of course, important, but there are also films about agriculture, to improve the use of new techniques so the farmers can reach higher productivity in their fields and so on. So that was the activity mostly in the cinema center. Then I tried to advise to create a national film board, and that national film board was created in 1977. And in parallel with the creation of the National Film Board, that was going to take care of to enhance the production, was the creation of an institute for cinema at the University of Ouagadougou. Then we were able to train, young filmmakers. Myself, I started teaching in that school while I have only done a very short film. So it has been also an opportunity for me to continue learning, because as you know, the one that teaches is also the one that learns most. So it's how I started making films and teaching at the same time. In my first long feature film, I made it in 82. It was Wenpuni, and Wenpuni was a very simple story about a kid, you know, that has lost his parents and being adopted by a new family, and it's the story of a very tragic story of that kid that is going to have a new adoptive sister and the relationship between them, and because this kid was dumb, he was not able to speak at the beginning of the film, he was a kind of mysterious. And in fact, I wanted to make a parallel between this character and Africa as a continent, you know, coming out from the night of colonization, you know. And that film, I was the first surprise, got a very big recognition in the world, because I tried to match the traditional way of telling stories in my culture to tell with the cinematic language, you know. And I, through that experience, I understood that finally, for my people, I invented absolutely the story of that movie. But for them, it was like a pre-existing tale that I had adapted on the screen. And it was very interesting the way that they have appropriated that movie. It was almost a little bit frustrating for me, because I remember the first screening, official screening in September 82 in Ouagadougou. For some reason, because we don't have time to tell you the entire anecdote, but I was outside while my film was rolling in the theater, because I distribute all my invitation cards for the screening, and I didn't have no tickets, no invitation card. And the gatekeeper told me, then you cannot have access to the cinema hall. He was right, you know. he taught me something very interesting. So I was inside, prisoner outside, you know, of the cinema hall. And then the responsible of the theater came out, and he was a little bit angry against me. He said that we wanted to introduce you to the audience. In fact, it is a cinema hall, the best one we had at that time, covered and with air condition, 570 seats. So I had 100 invitation cards that I distribute to my guests, and I was outside. And he said to me, you did wrong, because it was important for us to introduce you. And I said, well, there are 15 minutes that I am trying to convince your gatekeeper to let me get into the theater. But by doing that, this gatekeeper served me, because I escaped to that introduction that was a little bit risky for me, because I don't know what would be the reaction of the audience. Then I went finally inside, and I remember the gesture of this guy, because he was not at all convinced that I was the one who made that the movie. So he made this with his, okay, this is a kind of embezzlement between you and my boss, but I don't see it just that, you know. So I have been admitted to go inside the, and after the screening, when the crowd was going outside, so I was anonymous with the crowd, and two people in front of me were exchanging about the movie. And one said, "But my God, what is this type of movie?" You know. And the second said, "Why you say that? You didn't like it?" And he answered, "For sure I liked it, but why is it so short?" And in fact, my first long feature film was only 75 minutes. So they are used to 90 minutes duration, you know, at least of the film. And then the second says, oh, now it is short because in fact this is the first part of the movie. In the second, the two kids are going to marry. I was absolutely, you know, first time they see the movie, I made it, and then I'm learning what will be the sequel of my movie. So I was about to beat his shoulder and tell him, no, I need that movie, there is no sequel at all, finished, you know. But because I was timid, I didn't do so. And believe me, 15 years later, I made the sequel of that first movie. So he was right. I just didn't obey entirely to him. I didn't marry the two kids, you know. Meaning that, you know, it's really interesting to see how people, yeah, okay, people are able to reappropriate their own stories, you know. And in fact, what I gave to them was what I have myself got from my culture. So it was a just return to the audience, you know. And then I learned also that maybe what brought me to cinema, I have been inspired in the right way to say that it's very important for us to tell our own stories, because nobody is going to tell our stories, and we badly need our own stories, because drama is a vital substance for any individual, for any collectivity, community, nation, people, and so on. We need to reconnect our own memory, because it's very important. The way that we look to the world, we care about that, because it's I would say in French, the carburant, meaning what you put in your car, the fuel, to be able to move, you know, to undertake the journey, you know, of construction of your destiny. It's absolutely my way of seeing my work as a filmmaker. I'm only a filmmaker. I know that I cannot change the reality by, like that. But what I'm doing, I hope I try to make it contribute to rebuild the self-confidence of African people to themselves, because it's only through that we are going to find our own way of developing. That I'm sure would not be the one that the Western countries would like us to imitate. I think that nobody is going to invent us except ourselves. So I'm going to show you the last movie I have done, a very short one, in July. And it was something that happened in a very unpredictable way. I've been contacted by the Algerians, you know, from because they were preparing the second Pan-African cultural festival. You know, the first one took place in 1969 and the second one in 2009 in Algiers. And they asked to 10 filmmakers, I was one among those 10 filmmakers, to make a short film telling their view on Africa. And when they contacted me, it was during our film festival in Ouagadougou on the 4th of March, telling me that I should deliver the film in the middle of June. I said yes, because it was a good opportunity for me. And then after, I said, why did I say yes? This is a trap for me, because the time was very short. I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do, but for some reasons I decided that it is a challenge that I have to respond to. So I would like you to see it. We can talk a little bit later, because I tried to put in that short movie some of the convictions, hopes and dreams that I spoke just earlier. So unfortunately, it's a movie, the commentary is only in French. We haven't yet subtitled it, so it might be a little bit difficult for you. But the images by themselves, try to absorb them, I think it will tell you much about. And if I was free to do what I want, I wanted you to see it once, and then we speak a little bit, and I would like to conclude my intervention with the second screening of the same film, because it's only 5 minutes, 20 seconds. You will not even have time to sleep. Thank you very much.
Take it out and...